Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all this morning. Welcome, all of you gathered here this morning, whether you're here physically, and welcome to all of you who I hope are able to watch online as well. This morning, we celebrate Pentecost. Today is that day about 2,000 years ago when God the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people. And we celebrate that, and also the birth of the church. And this morning, appropriately as well, is our annual church meeting. And we're going to do that a little bit differently this morning than we've done in previous years or in any time that I remember. Rather than tacking it on as an item of business, if you like, at the end of the service, we want to incorporate the annual church meeting within our time of worship this morning. So usually in an annual church meeting, we spend most of the time celebrating all the great things that God's been doing over the last 12 months. And we will do that, but of course, the last 12 months has been a 12 months like no other 12 months, with so many things halted and paused. So we're going to spend a little bit of time lamenting on all of those things and acknowledging what we've lost over the last 12 months. We will then have a time during the service considering what God has been doing, where the green shoots are, where we see where God is at work among us, before we then go to the final part of our service, which will be looking forward and envisioning what is God calling us to be as a church. Because of coronavirus restrictions, it will be very different. We won't be able to participate in the usual way or sit round in a circle and things like that we've done. But nevertheless, my prayer is that it will be engaging and God will be in this. If you are watching online, I would encourage you to try and use the chat facility to make any comments or give us any feedback. Unlike what's happened in the past, we're going to collect that afterwards so that we're able to see, so that if you're watching online, you're able to be part of what we're doing and talking about as much as if you are physically here. What you will all have, hopefully, on your chairs are some post-it notes. And Michelle has very, very helpfully labelled them for me. I've got them stuck on my lectern and she's labelled them past, present and future, which is good. So there's going to be three times when we ask you to actually put some feedback or invite you to give us some feedback. The blue one is the one you'll need first when we talk about lamenting about the past. The pink one is when we think about where we are right now. Shane will be covering that with us later. And then the little orange one is when we talk about our vision for where God's leading us. So if you get it wrong, it doesn't really matter. I know I would. The only other thing that I have to say is, in terms of the actual business of the annual church meeting, everybody's invited and welcome here, but in terms of the election of officers to church council or stewards of the leadership team, it's only members that can vote on that. So if you're a member of the if you're not a member of the church, just keep your hand down, if that's all right. Let me begin with a prayer. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we want to start this time together by intentionally welcoming you among us. We come here today to meet with you, to commune with you, to spend time in your company. And so we invite you now to make your presence known with us. God, you are truly amazing. You are almighty, transcendent God, the maker and sustainer of heaven and earth, everything we see around us. And yet, you choose to dwell among us and in us. You are the all-holy and all-powerful God of this whole universe. And yet you love us and you love to be with us and meet here now with us. And so today we come to present to you our thanks and our praise for all you are and all you've done. We come to begin to explore the plans that you have for us and to seek your direction for our path ahead. On this Pentecost Sunday, we praise you that you call us your children, your body, your church. Thank you that in your grace and your mercy, you choose to use us as your hands and feet and heart for this world that you love beyond measure. And most of all, we give you thanks that what drives your heart is your incredible love, your love for us and all of your world. So God, will you bless us today, and may we know afresh your presence and your love for each of us. May we know your will for us, and may we yield to your direction. We offer our praise and our worship to you now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's begin by worshipping in song. We can't sing out loud, but you can sing quietly. I would invite you to stand up if you'd like to, as we join together in singing What a Beautiful Name. Thank you, Graham, and the worship band. when we were considering how we would structure what it is we're going to do today. We agreed that actually, first and foremost, it's not just about rah, 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 look to the future. We actually need to pause and spend some time acknowledging all that we have lost. There is so much that has been halted. There is so much that has been taken away from us. People, real people, relationships, our freedom, so much. So Paul is now, hopefully, if it works on the video, going to spend a time with us reflecting on and lamenting, actually, on the past 14 months or so.
5 months ago, on the winter solstice, a group of around 30 of us gathered at the summit of Hallinfell to reflect on the natural balance of light and darkness in life, to acknowledge that even though the darkness can be a place of sorrow and pain, it is as natural to the world as the light is. And so in the dark, surrounded by a cloud, we slowly turned off our torches, calling out the things that had caused us pain and sorrow through the past year, until we stood in complete darkness. There was something healing and rather special about the act of sharing. It makes me wonder whether we can sometimes be too quick to be grasping for the light, trying to make the pain go away without taking the time to acknowledge it. And so, for the first section of our ACM service, we're going to take some time to acknowledge the darkness and loss of the past year, to bring before God our pain and sorrow and even anger at what has passed. I'm going to read out and have up on the screen some suggestions for the kind of things that may have caused pain and loss in your life or in our life as a wider church body. But of course, each of you will know what your experience of the past year has been. We acknowledge the pain caused by the loss of so many lives. The loss of loved ones. The loss of the opportunity to properly say goodbye. The loss of chances to celebrate with others. The loss of connection with friends. The loss of the bridge. The loss of some ministries. The loss of a sense of belonging. Loss of work. Loss of some freedoms. Finally, as a way of trying to record the voice of the church, would you consider and then write on one of the pieces of paper provided, or adding in the comments section if you're joining us online, your answer to this question: over the past year, what did you and the wider community miss most about our life together as a church? May we be held by the God of compassion as we remember our losses. May we know God with us in our sorrow. May God bring us comfort in our pain. Amen.
So the invitation was to write something to the answer to that question on the blue bit. If you did the other bit, it doesn't matter. And if you just leave those by your chairs, then we'll collect all of these up afterwards. But before we move on, let's pause to pray. God, I'm reminded of the words of the psalmist who said, "How long, O God? How long?" And I'm sure many of us have asked that same question of so many things over the last year. How long, O Lord? Or we may have asked the question, "Where are you, God?" We may have asked the question, why, O God? And sometimes we ask the questions and the answers are not so easy for us to find. And yet somehow, God, we are content with being able to voice the questions and leave them in your hands. Sometimes we don't get easy solutions, but God, we thank you that you are a God who knows and you are a God who journeys with us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So God, we thank you for your presence. And we pray, God, that you would take all of that loss we feel, and that you would embrace it and you would hold us in it, and that we might know your presence with us. Amen. So there is much to lament, there is much to acknowledge that we've lost, but as we look back, I hope we can see that God has not been absent and God has been at work. So I invite Shane, another member of our core leadership team, to come and share some thoughts of what God has been doing. Thank you, Shane.
I saw a lovely tweet recently which reminded us actually that in the valley of the shadow of death, it's actually in the middle of that experience that the psalmist, a table was prepared. It was in the presence of God's enemies where there was hope. So thanks, Tim, for quoting that. I mean, it does seem a shame to sort of rush on from that bit of lamenting to sort of something a little bit more upbeat. But I think it's worth acknowledging that, you know, despite the circumstances, God is with us and has proved faithful. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. So God has been building his church despite our circumstances. So we come to our second question for reflection. I think that's going to be, it can be put up now actually. So feel free to write your response to this just as and when. And the question is this. Over the past year, what feature or aspect of our life together as a church helped to sustain you or has been most important to you and those in our wider community? I think it's worth acknowledging that that's a bit of a mouthful and somewhat grammatically suspect. So I think several questions and thoughts are being squeezed into a single sentence. So maybe it'll help if I re-ask it in different ways. Have you experienced positive ways of doing or being church during the lockdowns? What lifelines for our faith and service have been thrown? Or where has God been at work in us and through us? And in the metaphor of seasons, if we've just come through a harsh winter, what green shoots are becoming evident despite the long wait for spring? Now, for some of you, your response may well be, all I've been doing mainly is just sitting and waiting it out. Well, the Bible has many good things to say about Sabbath and Jubilee rest, patience and endurance. So I'd say, don't beat yourself up. Be encouraged. In fact, you may have been modelling to those of us who prefer jam-packed diaries and lots of doing, what waiting patiently for the Lord actually looks like. Now, being the PMC annual church meeting, it is right that we focus on the PMC aspect of the question just now. But of course, there's value in taking time personally to ask the same things. And perhaps that's something you might do if you haven't done already. So here are a few examples of what we might consider to be green shoots in our church life coming out of this period of disruption. Our adoption to technology. You know, it's allowed many of us to continue to meet, socialise and worship from the comfort of our own homes. Zoom, that marmite of digital experiences. Love it or loathe it, it certainly has its place. It's allowed some of our house groups to continue to meet. Ours, for one, has adjusted really well to the new format. Similarly, I know the coffee mornings are a blessing to many. And even the Alpha course has gone online and seen people join in from further afield than previous physical meetings. And there's now a new prayer meeting on a Monday night at 7:30 for half an hour, which I've found really enriching. And a big bonus for me is not spending more time driving the round trip than the meeting takes itself. So it's also eco-friendly. So you're very much encouraged to join with us on a Monday. Even if you can only come occasionally, you'd be very welcome. What about the YouTube services? Again, it's not something we'd probably have chosen to do, apart from it becoming the only realistic option at the height of the restrictions. And hasn't Jordan and his helpers and all those who've contributed with content done such a great job? As well as facilitating many PMC regulars to join again together for worship on a Sunday morning, its reach is actually much wider than that. It allows some to partake who are not able to, perhaps because of work commitments or ill health, and others who might not choose to come in person, perhaps because of distance, or perhaps they wouldn't feel comfortable in the building. So are these green shoots towards us becoming, as a church, more inclusive, recognising that in-person scheduled pew experiences aren't the only way to attend church services and be part of our community? Do tell us, if you're watching online, if this is really valuable to you. What about green shoots of new ways of serving or different ways of serving? Because there'd be a spectrum of experiences. If somebody else came up and did this little talk, it would be completely different. So I can only mention just a few from my own perspective. But I have to say, I'm looking at Michelle because I just really want to thank you for all the work you've done in the background. And Patricia, thank you. Thank you. You know, the way you organised and the church responded to the practical needs in our communities during the lockdowns. You know, so many people joined the PMC effort to assist with shopping and fetching medicines, creating opportunities for new and deeper relationships with our neighbours. Then there's the pastoral team and the Ministry of Flowers. They found new ways of continuing to do their important work of contacting and encouraging people. And there are new exciting ideas emerging for toddler and baby groups and for the World Cafe. And there's so many other initiatives that are also taking shape. Now, if you read the ACM booklet, the sense that I got, even for those groups that report they've not been able to do much, most of them say, we're looking forward to restarting. And so there's a real sense of optimism and hope. So I asked this question at our house group last week, and I don't have time to share all of the responses, but I'd like to mention just one of them. Because it stood out as something that wasn't immediately obvious, but nonetheless very real. It was from Fred and Deb Setters. You'll recognise Fred as the chap who's done several of the Zoom interviews, which have become a regular feature in our services. See, they'd recently moved from Guernsey to near Kirby Stephen. And I think they started attending PMC just before the first lockdown. I'm getting a little nod. They reflected that the timing of their move was such that they could have easily ended up feeling isolated and not being part of church life at all. But actually, the opposite has happened. Not only have they got to know folk through the coffee mornings, the house group meetings and the interviewing, all online, they have felt valued and included. And Fred's even taken on extra responsibilities, and you'll see him helping out on the technical desk and posting things on our social media accounts. So I know church won't have got everything right during this period, but isn't it good to have anecdotes of us getting some things right? So let's be encouraged. So what's your experience been? Do give us your feedback. Thank you. Now, I believe Patricia is now going to come and share with us her treasurer's report. So thank you, Patricia.
Oh, good morning. I've not really got much to add to my report, but I'd just like to emphasise to you the impact of coronavirus on our finances and stress the importance of generosity. 3 years ago, when things were normal, our income in 1819 was just short of 230,000. That included our last grant of 20,000 from Connection. But we also had a gift day where we raised just short of 14,000. I'm predicting that by the end of August this year, our income will be 140,000. And that's a drop of almost 90,000 during the 3 years of figures. So using the prediction to April 21, that means we'll have a shortfall of around 44,000. And as I say in the report, we have tried where possible to save on costs, but we keep having unexpected, unplanned expenditure. The roof, the heating, the nail fatigue still there. But I think we will underspend by around 13,000, which will reduce the expected deficit to 30. This figure includes the provision for a youth worker should we appoint someone before August 31st. I'm hoping, too, that we will have a gift day to show our generosity to God for his blessings during this awful time. We are fortunate in our reserves and from the generosity of our members over many years, and we may have to use some of the legacies that we've been left to enable us to continue with our ministry and mission, which I'm sure was the intention of the donors of these funds. Some good news before I finish is that we expect to see a decrease in our assessment for 21-22, and this figure is 21,679, and that's because of the proposed arrangement with Cove, or continued arrangement with Cove. When I accepted the role of treasurer in 2017, I said I felt privileged to serve God in this way. And I would like to thank you for your support and prayers during this very difficult time for us all, and especially for me personally. And I'd like to give a special thank you to Michelle and Duncan, whose help and support is invaluable. Thank you. I'm told you all switch off when I talk figures, and I hope if you've got any questions, then you'll ask me after.
Thank you, Patricia, and thank you, Shane. You know, as we look at the last year, it's great, isn't it, to see where God has been at work and what we have done. I mean, I was particularly struck by the way that Michelle orchestrated us all to go out with prescriptions and things and reach out to our community in ways that we hadn't been able to. And because we didn't have the four walls of this church building to do church, we were forced to do church in ways that actually is important for us to be doing all the time. And the fact that we've been able to prioritise that, I think, has been a really good thing. And Patricia, again, thank you for all the work you've done. The finances has not been easy, of course. Of course, our income has dropped substantially because of direct giving by people coming to church, but also especially through lettings. But we thank God for the reserves that we have, and we look forward to what God is as we place our reliance, actually, and our dependence on God and the generosity of people. And the reason we want finances is not to build a healthy bank balance, but it's so that we can build God's kingdom, so that we can do the mission and ministry that God is calling to us to in this place. So let us say again, pause for a prayer. God, we thank you that you have been at work. We thank you that as we look, despite the loss, despite the anguish, despite the grief and the loneliness and the vulnerability and the fear of the last year, God, you have not been absent. And thank you, God, that you are at work in the lives and the hearts of all of us and of your world. And thank you, God, that we see these green shoots of recovery now in so many ways. And so we just praise you for being at work. Praise you for those things that you've taught us to help us to learn from them and to remember and to use them to the greater good of building your kingdom as we look forward to the future. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. Audrey is kindly going to share to us. Let's read from the Bible. Audrey's going to come.
We have three readings this morning. The first one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. We have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And from Romans 12, verse 4 to 13. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. And from 1 Peter chapter 2, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honour. And you are the living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Amen.
Thank you, Audrey. How are you all feeling? You know, you're very fortunate, those of you who are watching on YouTube, because you can get up and stretch your legs now, you can go and make a cup of coffee, you can press pause. Poor people that are physically in the church here have been sitting for some time. I tell you what, just give me just breathe in. Just take a second, just to take a deep breath in and out. And as we breathe in, just say to yourself, God is good. And as you breathe out, say, all the time, all the time. God is good all the time. And now just stretch your arms up a minute. I just want to let's get some, just save you all falling asleep and then reach out without banging the person next to you. Fantastic. Good. Okay. You'll be pleased to know that I'm not going to witter on for too long this morning. But it's Pentecost Sunday, isn't it? It's the day when we celebrate God coming as the Holy Spirit for all people. And it's also, of course, the day that we celebrate the birth of the church. Jesus had ascended, and on that first Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, a movement started that would grow over the whole world to spread the good news of God's love for all. Now, God, I'm sure, could have chosen any number of different ways to communicate God's message of new life and salvation and reconciliation, but God chose to do it through his church, empowered by God the Holy Spirit. And here we are today, this Pentecost Sunday, at our annual church meeting. And what a perfect date for us to have it. 2,000 years after that first Pentecost, here we sit as an expression of God's church here in Penrith. And we come, don't we, in a way, to a time of rebirth for our church here. So much has been halted and been on hold for so long. And as we start to return from all the restrictions of the last year, we have an opportunity now to evaluate who we are, where it is we are going. And our mandate is surely the same as it was for that early church that we just read about in Romans 1 Corinthians and 1 Peter, to worship, to grow in God's love and to show God's goodness to others. All of which is summed up in our own vision statement we have at PMC, which says, to be people becoming more like Jesus, extending love and hope to our wider community. You know, there is so much we could talk about this morning, so much that we do need to explore together. But this morning, I want to spend just a few minutes picking up on what Lois started in last week's bulletin, if you read it, and talk about jigsaws. I bought a very difficult one. I'm not going to suggest we try and do this in the time we have available, by the way. But let's just think about jigsaws for a moment. I wonder if you like doing jigsaws. Is that something you like doing? No, some of you do, some of you don't. For some people, it's the last thing they'd ever think of doing. Really, the most tedious thing. But for others, it can become this infatuation that can be absorbing and challenging and fulfilling. I have to admit that I've never really been into them myself. However, during lockdown, we did start to do a few, didn't we, as a family, Trace? And as I've started getting into them, there are some things that I've discovered about jigsaws that I thought were worth sharing with you all this morning. Now, the first thing that people start with when they do a jigsaw is to put in the four corners. Is that the way you usually start with a jigsaw? Ooh, one or two are saying no. There's always the odd rebel around, isn't there? But most people will try and find the four corner pieces and put those in place. They become the foundation points, don't they, upon which the rest of the jigsaw fits. And if we think about our church here at PMC as a jigsaw, we too, of course, have a foundation stone, a cornerstone, a corner piece, if you like, don't we, on which everything else is built. And that, of course, is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Everything we know about our faith, everything we know about our amazing God is shown to us in the person of Jesus. So if we want a cornerstone, a corner piece on which to build what it is we're going to do, then we just look at Jesus. And then, of course, once we've done the corner pieces, we normally, I'm guessing, do the edges. We try and find all the pieces with a straight edge, don't we? And we try and put those together. Michelle's saying she doesn't, but I do. And I hope that a lot of people do as well, otherwise this will make no sense at all. And the reason we do that is because we like to have a framework around which the rest of the jigsaw can fit. And in our church, if we consider that as a jigsaw, we too need some foundations, a framework that we build ourselves as PMC around. That's why at PMC we have four words that we consider as being our core values on which we build the life and work and ministry and service of our church. We have praise, act, belong, and grow. And those provide, if you like, the four walls, the four foundations on which everything else is built. Then the next thing I recognize about jigsaws is that every piece is different. It's a different color, it's a different shape. They only fit into one particular place on the jigsaw, don't they, usually? And every piece is necessary. They're all needed. If one piece is missing, then the jigsaw is incomplete. Have you ever done a jigsaw, I wonder, and you thought to yourself, actually, I don't like this piece, I don't like this colour, that's a bit boring, that's all brown on the other side of this, and I'm not sure I'm going to use that actually in the jigsaw, that's not a bit that I particularly like. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? Every piece is necessary in order, or the jigsaw just doesn't work. And so it is with this church. Each one of us is a different piece of this jigsaw. We're all different colours and shapes and sizes, and yet each one of us is needed. We all have a part to play. And I want to say to everybody today, whether you're here physically or whether you're watching us online, you do matter. You do belong. You do fit here. This church is unfinished without you. As I said, there are some bits in the jigsaw that actually look a little bit boring, if we're honest, aren't there? Trace and I were doing one the other week, and it was a harbour scene. It was great, and all I wanted to do was the little boats and the seagulls, because those were the nice bits. But those big expanses of blue sea and sky, nah, Trace, you could do those bits, that's boring. Let me do the boats and the seagulls, that's much better. Yes, there are some bits that seem drab and inconsequential, and yet they're as important as the most colourful piece. All are needed. I wouldn't have had our harbour scene complete without it being set in the context of the sea and the sky that it's at. And maybe you look at yourself this morning and you think to yourself, actually, I don't really fit in here. I haven't got that much to offer. But I want to tell you that that's just not true. We all belong. We all count. We're all as important as anyone else. This church will not work without each of us playing our part and finding where we fit. I don't think the Apostle Paul did jigsaws in his day. I doubt they were even invented. But he used, and we read about it, the metaphor of a body and each part of the body playing its part. Like jigsaw pieces, all are important, all are needed, and the body can't function properly without all the different parts serving the whole. And there's another thing that I find about jigsaws. You can't take one piece, one section, one area of a jigsaw and say, I think I'm going to make a different jigsaw out of that bit because I like that bit. And I don't like that bit, so I'm just going to do it, you know, I'm going to make it into two. It just won't work, will it? Both, if you tried to do that, both jigsaws would actually be incomplete. They wouldn't work. They all make up part of the whole. And so it is with this church. Here at PMC, we're a wide church with many different expressions of theology or worship or service. But our diversity, our differences even, all add to the glorious single picture of what it means for us to be one church. And there's another illustration I found about jigsaws. Have you ever tried to do a jigsaw without having a picture of what it is you're supposed to be building? If I gave you these now in this box and I said, if I say, Rachel, right, here we are, can you just do, I'm going to chuck all of these pieces on the floor, off you go and make this jigsaw. Rachel would say to me, Tim, don't be daft. How can you expect me to make a jigsaw when I can't even see what it is I'm supposed to be building? And she'd be right. And so it is with this church. We need a picture. We need a vision of what God is doing among us. If all we do is try and be church and scrabble around and work out where the bits go, then maybe we'll get there. Maybe we'll be lucky. But how much easier would it be if we actually had a picture that said this is where God is leading us. This is what God wants to do among us. Together, each of us needs to discern that picture. We need to work out what God is saying to us. And today is Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was given and the church was born. And so today we celebrate and give thanks for both those things. And today we acknowledge that together we are God's church. Today is a new start for us, a new beginning. God is doing a new thing. We're doing a new jigsaw. All of us are important. We all belong. We all fit into this stunning picture that God is painting of God's kingdom here in Penrith. And Jesus himself is the very corner piece of what it is we're doing. And what picture do we have of what God wants us to look like? What vision is it that God gives us? It is, I hope, a church where all are welcome and included and valued, where all contribute and use the gifts that God has given us. A church that seeks to live for God's praise and God's glory. A church that, as we just read in 1 Peter, seeks to show the goodness of God to others. It's a church built on those core values of a people being, us being a people of praise. A people who act to share God's love. A people where all belong. And a people who want to grow to be more like Jesus. It's a church where you are invited and needed and included. But just one more final thought for you about jigsaws as I close. Have you ever done a jigsaw and found to your horror at the end that there's been one piece missing? Yes. Trace and I and Tracy's sister were doing one, weren't we, at Christmas time. And we did the same thing. We'd spent weeks on this blessed jigsaw. And in the end, we finished it, but we didn't finish it because there was one piece missing. And that almost made the whole time we'd spent putting this thing together pointless. It was incomplete. It was wrong. There was a missing piece. We searched for that missing piece. Fortunately, we found that missing piece. My question, my challenge to you is this. Please, 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 don't you be that missing piece. I seriously, earnestly, passionately believe that God is doing something amazing in this place with us. All of us are included, all of us are invited, all of us belong, and all of us are needed. Do not be that missing piece. Will you, I wonder, play your part? Will you add your contribution? Will you add your colour, your diversity, your shape to what it is that God is doing among us? We're going to sing a song now, and because I've completely scrubbed my notes and where I was going to go. I've got something for you. I've got something for you physically. I've got something for you if you're online. We have, at great expense, purchased a blank jigsaw of 100 pieces. Tracy has taken them from the packet this morning. She has socially distanced them on trays. My invitation to you is, as we sing this song, Be Thou My Vision, I believe. Tracy and I are going to pass round these jigsaw pieces. My invitation is for you to take one. To take one home, and may it be a reminder to you of your place and where you fit, where you belong, where you're included, and where you are needed to be part of what God is doing in this place. So I'm going to hand them round. If you're watching this online, obviously, you know, we're brilliant. I know the people are fantastic with what they do with YouTube. I'm not sure we're able to zap it through the airwaves. But please do give us a shout, drop us a line, phone Michelle or whatever, and we will make sure we get a jigsaw piece to you. But let's stand if you're able to, and let's worship, and I'll hand round the jigsaw pieces.
Now and always. be thou and thou only, the first in my heart. O sovereign of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, of heaven's bright sun, O grant me its joy.
So far, this morning, we've acknowledged what it is that we've lost over the last year. And we've also seen that not everything has stopped. God has still been at work in us and through us. And now we're going to spend the final part of our time together looking forward. I'm hoping that all of you will have seen this document, either emailed to you or you could pick them up. There's plenty of copies outside in the sort of right reception if you haven't got one, if you can take one with you. It's an attempt by us to start a conversation of what we believe God is calling us to be as a church. In one way, of course, I think it's important that Dave and I try and articulate to you what's on our heart, to share something of our vision for PMC. And I hope that this document at least begins to point towards that. But it's also important, of course, that as a whole church family, we discern and discover together where it is that God is leading us. To us to have in our minds that picture of what the jigsaw is going to look like. It's not about me or Dave or the core leadership team, us imposing our vision onto anybody else, but about us journeying together one step at a time and working out our path together. And the picture that we build will not be a destination. You know, that's coming one day, a long time in the future. What we're looking for is a direction rather than a destination, a direction of travel. But I wonder if you'll allow me just to explain to you a little tiny bit of what's on my heart. Just a tiny bit of autobiography, forgive me. I'm 58 years old now, okay, and I wrote a song once upon a time that said, the words went like this: I've wasted so much time that it almost seems too late, and it's high time that I put some rights into these wrongs I've made. All my life's been one big circle going round and round without a moment for a king and a saviour I once found. I wrote that hundreds of years ago. Most of my life I spent, if I'm honest with you, I think I knew that God was calling me to some sort of ministry when I was quite young, but I ignored it, put it out of my mind, didn't want to do it, wanted to do that. Spent a life, got married, had children, built a career, climbed ladders, always wanted to achieve, and it was gone 45 years old by the time that God finally got through to me and called me to do what I'm doing now. I then spent 4 years, 2 years independently in college, and then 2 years in Birmingham, training to become a minister. I then came to you as a probationary minister, all green around the ears, with no idea of what I was doing, and I still no idea of what I'm doing. But I came to you then, and then 2 years on probation, and then a further 3 years, and just in the last few months, I've been made joint superintendent. I have got 4 years left. Seriously. And I am looking forward, in many ways, to retiring in 4 years' time. What I am not prepared to do, church, is waste those 4 years. I've wasted too much of my life already. and not been where God has wanted me to be. And it would be in many ways dead easy for me to coast as your minister and just keep the show on the road, keep the plates spinning, tickle a few tummies, try and keep people happy, and 4 years will come, off we go, kayaking, cycling, walking in Arran, or bird watching if my body's not up to it. I don't want to do that. I'm not prepared to do that. Because outside there is a world that is hurting. Outside there are hearts that are broken. Outside there are people who are wounded, people who know nothing of this amazing God and this love that God wants to share. Outside there or inside here are people that want to fall deeper and deeper in love with Jesus, to get to know this amazing relationship that God called us to. And me, as your minister, I want to see lives changed and hearts transformed and God to do something amazing in us and through us. But I can't do it on my own. This is not about Tim Cook or about a core leadership team even. This is about the church. And so my invitation, my hope, my prayer to all of you is that you share that same vision. You share that same heart. You share that same passion. You're not willing just to coast it for the next few years. You're not willing just to keep this show on the road. But you have a heart that says, what is God doing? Now is the time, I believe, for us to mobilize to be what God is calling us to be. So my question to you is, are you up for it? Are you going to be part of that church? Are you going to be the piece of that jigsaw? I wonder what it is that excites and nourishes you. What is it, I wonder, for you, for this church, that you see as important for us to hold on to in our vision as we build this church further together? What are those things that we should be picking back up? What are those things that we should be dropping? What is it that we should be doing differently? These are all questions we need to consider, and we're not going to come up with the answers now. It's going to be a journey for us together. We can't just put it all in a box and say, there it is. But let's talk to one another. Let's dream dreams together. Let's share in our house groups with each other. Let's phone, let's contact, let's just dialogue and determine where it is that God is leading us. So do read through that document and do please come back with any suggestions or comments. There is one question, however. You've got one post-it note left, I believe. So I wonder if you could use your post-it note now to write down your response to an equally long question. Looking toward the next year, I haven't done what Shane did and taken the time to paraphrase or think. Looking toward the next year, in the light of your experience of the past year, what would you like to see us prioritize doing as a church in order to sustain one another and to reach out beyond our walls? So maybe you could just spend a couple of minutes now. We'll just have a pause for a moment and just think about that. What is the one thing that you would like to see us prioritizing? And as I said, this is going to be a journey of us traveling together. An exciting journey, I hope. A risky journey. A vulnerable journey. A journey where we think of the other rather than ourselves. But a journey that is saying, wow, God, where are you doing? So jot down your answer to that and just leave it. There's a couple of things that I want to share with you which are exciting. One is, I was even hesitant whether I was going to share this with you or not, but I'm going to. As you know, we have been seeking to appoint a children and youth leader and family, somebody to make connections with families. We've not had success up to now in that particular desire. However, there is somebody who's come to our attention who we've had a lot of conversation with now, spent a lot of time with, who is revisiting us at the end of next week. So it's not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination yet, But I don't know if some of you may remember that I did a sermon a few weeks ago on John 21 where the disciples were fishing all night and they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus said to them, try the other side. And as a core leadership team, we were wondering whether that was a message for us in terms of our pursuit. We were looking very much for what we wanted to do, this children and youth leader and families worker. And I'm just wondering if Jesus is saying to us, try the other side. Do something differently. This person who we're talking to will be very, very different. But this person is passionate about making connections and journeying with people and people finding a sense of belonging and having the space to just be together. So I'm very excited about the way the conversation's going. But just to let you know that is... there is opportunity for people to speak in if you want to. Fred, Gillian would like to say a word if that's okay. We'll just bring the mic down, Gillian, so that people can hear you, but more importantly, so that people online can hear you.
Thank you. I think it's really important because in our household we're trying to pray for the core leadership team to know who is the core leadership team. We have a lot of reference in the core leadership team, but we don't know definitely who is on the core leadership team, please.
Okay, great question. Given that you've been waiting obviously for some time to try and establish that, I'm going to ask you to wait another a few more minutes. And when we go through what we'll do as part of the... what we have to do is the annual church meeting is the reappointment and election of officers. So we will go through all of those people and spell it out very, really, really clearly. So
thank you.
Give me 2 seconds and I promise you'll have that. Thank you, Gillian. So I'm excited about the possibility of having somebody that's going to connect with families. There is something else that we want to show you on here. Do you remember, some of you will know, that we've been thinking about what we do. Paul, in his piece, lamented the loss of the bridge. And we've been wondering together and thinking and praying and discerning about what God wants us what God wants us to do to provide a facility where community groups in general, young people, children's groups in particular, can find a place of belonging and identity. So we've got some plans for the redevelopment of the Oldswater room. And all I want to do now, we haven't got the opportunity for loads of backwards and forwards, but I want to show you some of those plans, and hopefully you can see them here. This is a picture of the Oldswater room. The Oldswater room is the room out the back where before coronavirus, we used to have coffee and tea. It's the big hall that we've got at the back. And so the idea is that in the front of that Oldswater room, where there are what we call the twin towers, there's some cupboards and things at the front. Those are demolished, and in its place, and stretching out probably, I'm guessing, Duncan, 7 or 8 feet, something like that, in front of that, is a room, a module, if you like, a room that's built here. So this is the access here from the outside of the church. This is the Oldswater room. The kitchen is right over here, and there's this module that's put in there with a spiral staircase there. As you're looking at it, your top right is where there would be some toilets in what is currently the far storeroom, and then next to that is another storeroom which will remain a storeroom. And then if I can have the next slide, Duncan. This is the upstairs. So upstairs, up that spiral staircase, or indeed a lift, because there would be a lift for access for people with mobility issues. There would be another room upstairs, like a mezzanine floor, with another room upstairs. And I think we might have one or two pretty pictures of it. So this is looking from the Oldswater room, looking at that room. That room would have some sliding doors or some folding doors on it so that you can open it up to have the entire room open, or you can completely close it off for it to be contained. It would also have a small kitchenette within it. Just a small kitchenette would be part of that. And this is looking at it from the upstairs. So you've still got the Oldswater room. What you'll notice in the roof are these wonderful skylights. I think, was it Patricia was mentioning earlier on that we need to do the roof in any case. The roof is something that we need to do some work on the roof in any case. But part of the work on that roof will be putting in all of these skylights, which will give us amazing light into the room, and you can see that mezzanine and the little room upstairs, which I think, as well as being an amazing place to give priority to youth and children and community groups, there's also going to be some opportunity for other groups and users to be able to access those areas as well. This is not a thing for voting on or anything. I just wanted to share you as part of the vision in terms of part of the things that we're doing. But if anybody does have any comments or wants to ask any questions, I'm very happy for Duncan to answer them. If you'd like to. And if you're online, if you've got any questions, again, if you just want to pop them on the comments section, then that will be good and we'll pick up on them there. Okay, so if there isn't any, the final part, Gillian. This is something that we have to do as part of our annual church meeting, is the election of officers. Now, what that means is this. This is kind of like an official businessy part of this meeting, but there are some people that serve, well, everybody serves this church in a number of different ways. There are some people that serve this church as, the old-fashioned word would be stewards. That's what we would have within Methodism. We call them the leadership team. So there are people that have leadership positions and look after various areas of church life. And then we have some people who are appointed to serve. All of those people, by the way, serve on what we call the church council. The church council is the governing body of the church. It's the governing body. It's where all decisions are made about anything. It's not a minister that decides it. It's not a leadership team who decides it. It's the church council. It's the church. And you, as the church membership, elect people to that, to sit as representatives on that church council. So, one of the things that we constitutionally we need to do at this meeting is for this meeting to approve those who are continuing to serve, and then approve or otherwise those that are willing to serve in place of those that are stepping down. So, I'm going to go through the core leadership team. Gillian asked the question. So we have a leadership team within PMC, which are stewards, as I say, that look after various areas of church life. There are some of those people who meet regularly with Dave and I in terms of offering a support function and a critical eye and ear, if you like, as well, some accountability and some help, as well as some challenge. And so those people are, and these people are, so I'm giving you these names, A, so that you know in answer to Gillian's question, but B, so that hopefully those of you who are members can vote that they continue on. Patricia Coop, who is actually our treasurer. Shane McNichol, who you heard earlier. Sarah Hume, who sat over there. And Paul Rose, who you saw earlier on. I'm going to tell you the rest of the existing ones so that we do it in... there are existing people that are part of the leadership team that are happy to continue in their roles. Duncan Watson is our property, heading up our property team. There's also Steve Williams, Steve, who looks after our external relations. Chris Swift, who I know is sitting up in the balcony, who looks after mission. David Selby, who's sat at the back, who's our vestry, sort of heads up the vestry stewards team. And Keith Jones, who heads up our HR. Those are people who are existing who, as far as I know, haven't told me anyway, and I'm going to talk really quickly so they don't have an opportunity to say anything, are willing to continue serving. If they are you who are members happy that they continue to serve? Thank you. That's unanimously carried. There are some people that are retiring from that or moving. Olive Jenkins is retiring from being on the leadership team under the heading of prayer and vision. Olive's played an amazing role in doing that. It's very much still part of the pastoral team and still very much will continue to have a heart for vision. I was saying to Olive what we were going to be talking about today, and I was saying, actually, as a church, we can no longer, if you like, abdicate the responsibility for the vision onto one person or a team. We need to all be part of that ministry now. However, that role on the leadership team remains vacant at this moment in time. Pastoral, on the leadership team, pastoral somebody as the pastoral contact. That's a vacancy that we've had for a long time. Angela Wicker, who has sat on the core leadership team, is very happy to, and she has volunteered to take on that role as pastor, you know, heading up the pastoral ministry and team of the church. So the other two to tell you about, so there's Angela Wicker. Worship has been a vacancy on the leadership team for a long time. Jordan has Jordan Summers has agreed to come onto the leadership team. In fact, enthusiastically volunteered to be part of the leadership team and heading up that worship function. And comms and media, Val Bowen was the person that was responsible for managing that, all our communications, all our social media. Val has already made an intention clear that she wished to retire this year. But Fred Setters, who you all know now from all of his radio and interview work, I can't think of a better person to take on that role, and Fred has kindly agreed. So to those three appointments, church members, would you agree to those appointments? Fantastic. Sorry, Fred. And then the other thing, the final part on it, and we honestly we're almost done, is representatives to the church council I was mentioning to you. So the people that I understand who are willing to continue serving on church council are Andrew Wright, David Belford, Tracy Cook, Don Agus, Linda Watson, David Pollitt, and Bill Wright. Those are currently representatives that are happy to continue. Are you happy, church members, that they continue to serve you as representatives? Fantastic, that's covered. And in terms of, and I'm really quite excited about this, some spaces that there are, there's been a vacancy for a long time. So we've got a vacancy, which has always been a long. Keith Scott is retiring, wants to retire in August this year. And also Sue Williams wishes to retire from church council in August. However, I'm delighted to say that three people have volunteered and offered themselves up, one of which is Gareth Cousins. Gareth sat at the back somewhere. Gareth has a wealth of experience. I've always valued Gareth so much since the day I started here. He's been like an owl to me. I didn't say granddad Gareth, I said owl. So I really value Gareth's experience. He was church council secretary, so to have him on the team would be brilliant. Morgan Tebroger, Morgan's at the back doing our live streaming today. Morgan has agreed to come onto church council, and so has Rachel Tate. You know Rachel and Tolwyn and Maggie. So that's fantastic. So Rachel and Morgan and Gareth. Are church members happy that those replace those positions? Fantastic. That wasn't too bad, was it? I hope. We're going to sing one more song now and then we'll finish. But I really hope. I'm sorry, Kath? Oh, the representatives to church council. I will give you all of this nicely, neatly typed out, Kath, I promise. Yeah, that concludes the official business. But I hope that you can see that we've been on a bit of a journey this morning. And I know it's been a longer service than normally, and it had to be because of what we had to do. But we've thought of the past and where we've come. We've thought of where we are now. But I hope that you are excited about what God is doing as we move forward and what God wants to grow and continue to build and flourish and thrive. Jesus said he'd come that we might all know life in all its fullness. And we can be part of God's plan for that. We can be agents in bringing God's good news for others. So I hope that excites you. And I hope that the plans that we've got and the things that were happening and it just is really. And I can't wait to see what God is going to continue to do among us. Let's finish. And again, by all means, please stand as you can as we sing. Or at least sing quietly, hum, whatever. I will offer up my life.
Pouring out.
God, as we go from this place, may each of us know how loved and valued by you we are. May each of us know that we are this piece in this jigsaw that you call your church. That we're part of your body, we're part of your rescue plan for this world. God, you chose us to be part of what you want to do, and what an amazing privilege that is. And so as we go, help us to know that we fit. Help us to know that we all belong. And help us to know what it is you call us to as we seek to worship and grow and serve you. And lead us and guide us and build your church, we pray. Build your kingdom so that people may know of your love, may experience that fullness of life that you want everybody to know. And so bless us and be blessed among us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. And let's say the grace to one another, shall we? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Please don't forget encounter services tonight at 7:30. Trace and I are going to be cleaning as soon as this service is finished, so it's all spick and span and beautiful for them. But thank you for your participation. God bless you.